this is as close to a live pod as we can do, really. I mean, the game just ended about a half hour ago. Just posted the three things we learned on IntoTheCalderon.com. So that will be up in addition to this podcast. But let's start with the news that I think everyone wants to hear about. I've got TweetDeck open as I'm doing this in case something develops while we're recording. Atletico confirming in a statement that, it was a tweet really, that João Félix had to exit with a strong twist of the ankle. So take that for what you will. He's going to have tests and we'll see where he is. Just a cherry on top of this this whole cake here, isn't it?
Yeah, basically just hoping for no ligament damage and that it's just a sprain or whatever. Nothing. Well, I mean, you wouldn't imagine he would play in the next match anyway, considering he took the knock, but hopefully it's not too bad.
He could not put any weight on that ankle.
Yeah, that was not good.
That's a really bad sign. And since Simeone had already used his three substitutes, you're down to 10 men. And that was a situation in which Valencia equalized.
Yeah, exactly. Granted, it was from a set piece, and we've seen Danny Parejo be pretty amazing for the last several years. I mean, he's just such a consistent player, so it's what happens when you give away those opportunities.
Well, I mentioned this was as pretty close to a live show as we can do. El Chiringuito just tweeted out a quote from Simeone saying, "I thought it was nothing, but the doctor has told me it is something serious. It is something grave."
Oh dear!
Yippee! So that is obviously very bad news for Atletico if that does come to pass. If it is indeed a serious injury to João Félix, of course, the most expensive signing in the club's history, 126 million euros this summer, to have a serious injury 2 months into his Atletico career is obviously that is just pretty terrible news for the 19-year-old.
Yeah, and I mean, we've seen just in those 2 months, this isn't the first time he's taken some knocks in games and looked a little bit ginger coming off the field. So, yeah, it's not ideal for him, obviously. I mean, the good news is he's still very young, so even if he is out for a couple months, there is still time. But, I'm not going to stress out too much about it until we hear what it's going to be, and then I'll start tearing my hair out.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't want to speculate on what could be wrong with him until we really know.
Until we hear the official statement. But that is not an encouraging quote from Simeone.
No, certainly not.
At the very least, that is not an encouraging quote. That really is the cherry on top of this awful little cake that has been baked here at the Wanda Metropolitano. In case we haven't even done the scoreline yet, it finished 1-1 between Atletico and Valencia, if you missed this one. Before the international break, Saul gave a pretty good soundbite about how Atletico needed to start faster, about how there's really no excuse for not starting faster or with more urgency. And Atletico seemed to take their vice captain's words to heart. They started very well in this game, 11 first-half shots, and the goal coming through a Diego Costa penalty, which was a VAR-reviewed and approved, Denis Cheryshev with a handball just inside the box from an Alvaro Morata pass, and Costa stepped up. Costa was hanging out around the penalty spot, really just after the penalty had been given, he was already hanging out around the spot. So it was very clear. It was very clear he was going to take it, and that is indeed what happened. Sent Cillessen the wrong way, really buried it pretty easily, and 1-0 to Atleti, and it was deserved. It was a very good first half from Atleti. I think that is the most positive thing we can take from this game, is that the start was a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, there have been some pretty horrendous first halves this season. I mean, for the most part, this year, watching the first half means you're not really going to see any goals. I mean, it was good penalty. We know Costa's a fairly decent penalty taker, all things considered. I sort of hoped that would get him going. It kind of didn't, because he only had that was the penalty was half of his shots in this game, so that's not great.
Just his second shot on target this season, and it came from a penalty.
Good. So. Good. Seems fine. Seems like everything's fine with Costa.
Everything is awesome when you're part of a team.
Yes, indeed.
So that was the first half. I mean, it was positive overall. Atleti kept their shutout streak rolling. It eventually ran up to 557 minutes of play. So that's over a month in which Atletico did not concede. Pretty impressive. Overall, not much to complain about from that first half. João Félix was on the ball a lot. Santi Arias was very, very good again. Thomas Partey made a few mistakes. He eventually came off on 53 minutes and what was clearly not his best display. And Thomas kind of coming off that early kind of portends the problems that Atletico would go on to have in the second half, Rob. In that second half, Atletico managed 0.25 expected goals after putting up 1.3 in the first half. 0.25.
Yeah, it was a really... So we've gone from having really bad first halves to now having really bad second halves. That's good.
It's a lack of composure, really. And not only in the moment where that equalizer happened, but Santi Arias missing that chance. Mere moments, really, before João Félix goes off injured on a counterattack. And then we see Parejo equalize from what was objectively a really, really sweet free kick. Just that lack of composure from Arias kind of symbolized the team in the whole second half, just ceding possession, just trying to see out a game that was not comfortable. I mean, Denis Cheryshev had hit the crossbar about 5 minutes into the second half. This was not comfortable, and yet Simeone thought Atletico were just about home free, making all his substitutes, not giving them any flexibility for one final change late on. And none of the substitutes were very good either. Well, let's point that out. Lemar, Lodi, and Llorente, none of those substitutes was particularly effective at all.
No, definitely not. For them to come out so flat in the second half was really disappointing. I mean, you feel like this is a game against this fairly decent opponent, you need to come out and lay down a marker in the second half. I mean, we know that Simeone won't do that, to be honest, because we've seen time and time again that he's just going to try to see out a match if he has an opportunity to do so. But I don't know, maybe that first half goal wasn't such a good thing. Maybe if they had gone in 0-0, they would have had a little bit more gumption in the second half.
And that, you know, that is actually a good argument.
I mean, because then Simeone would have been forced into being a little bit more adventurous, perhaps.
And then, yeah, there is that temptation to where, you know, you don't push as hard in the second half, and that's what happened. Valencia had 0.65 expected goals in the second half. That Parejo chance, of course, that Parejo goal from a free kick, those are never very high XG chances, opportunities, but, you know, he goes and scores this one because Parejo for years has been just a really good midfielder, criminally underrated, has never had a Spain call-up, and...
I mean, he's getting to, like, Gabby territory in terms of not getting Spain call-ups.
And just hasn't been... He's been overlooked. I mean, Spain have a ton of midfield talent, of course, but he's just been overlooked, and this performance makes you wonder why. He was great, particularly in the second half, really took the game by the scruff of its neck. Atletico's midfield just... Where was Koke in this game? Saul also, for large portions of this game, just wasn't around. And again, we have to talk about those two as undroppable players. Should they be so undroppable, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, the weird thing about Saul was... I mean, he was effectively deployed as a left midfielder. He was getting the ball a lot on the left-hand side of the pitch, which isn't to his benefit, I don't think. I mean, he didn't have a good game. Koke's sort of been... He's just kind of like this. I feel like this is just kind of the guy he is at this point. There will be matches where you don't really notice him or whether he doesn't really do much to control the game. And I think we saw with one bad performance with Thomas Partey that... I mean, obviously, we're not going to crucify him for. He's been great all season.
Right.
But if he's not playing spectacularly well like he had been, this midfield is still kind of a problem. And Llorente has been disappointing on the whole this season. Again, it does make one wonder if Hector Herrera might not be a useful option in there.
Yeah,
especially, I mean, we know Saul is undroppable, but you think, I mean, if he wasn't a youth player that Simeone loved forever, that Herrera would have gotten a chance in there by now.
Really, Herrera, again, we've talked about it several times already this season. We both thought he was going to be pretty important to things this season, but he wasn't quite the Simeone-approved signing. Herrera was a strategic signing on some level by the board to reach out to the Mexican market, to continue reaching out to the American market. And Simeone just does not care about that. Simeone's going to put out the team he thinks is best, and he doesn't think Herrera is in that team. At that point about Thomas, I think, is a very good one. Even when he's not at his best, Atletico hooked him. Simeone hooked him before the hour, and you saw things become looser, as it were. You saw Valencia inch closer and closer, and the game become a little more open, Atleti having to sit back more, cede more possession. They finished with 44% possession, despite that really bright first half. And, you know, boom, 82 minutes, Parejo gets the equalizer. Not saying there is a strong correlation there, but there is a correlation there.
Yeah, I think in general, we've seen it time and again, and it's tiring to talk about it because we always do, but the two-man midfield of it just is not working with the players that are at Simeone's disposal. I mean, Tomas is probably the most well-rounded central midfielder this team has in terms of both defensive and offensive ability, but without him, or without him at his best, it's not good. And it just doesn't work as a two. The Koke and Sal can't do enough at both ends of the pitch to make that work.
So you take off Thomas, which isn't, honestly, I wasn't against it because he wasn't very good. But you know, throwing on Lema in his place, we don't want to come down on Lema too much. But again, another instance where he is not a decisive player, where he just doesn't really add anything, and he's been driving play a little bit more this past month or so, but it doesn't matter how much you drive play if you aren't decisive with it. It doesn't matter how much you drive play if nothing is coming of that. If you're not producing in build up or you're not contributing to the end product, you just bringing the ball up like a point guard, it doesn't really matter if you don't do anything with it. And that is Thomas
Lemar. Yeah, his passing is, I mean, he has decent passing numbers because, you know, he's just not taking the adventurous pass, the one that can really split a defense in the way that you would want a player like him to be able to do.
Right, he's got to be able to do that.
88%
pass accuracy across 15 touches in this game over, but that's also over 35 minutes of work.
I mean, it's fine in terms of the percentage, but I don't know. He wasn't very impressive to me either, and I know we keep coming back to this, but how much does this team miss Vitolo?
Yep.
As an option off the bench?
Vitolo's still injured after he trained fully the last couple days, but left out of the squad, clearly an eye toward the midweek game against Leverkusen. No Correa, though, which was also interesting. It seemed like Cholo chose Renan Lodi over him.
Which I get, because Hermoso was okay. I don't think he was great, and it's obviously not his preferred position. It kind of feels like that was maybe like the opposite of how it should have gone. Like, Lodi starts the match, and then Hermoso comes on as the more defensive option, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's a little like what used to happen to Lucas Hernandez.
Yeah.
Where he'd start at left back, he'd be pretty defensive. A lot of the play would go through the right flank, or Atleti would work through the middle. That's kind of what happened with Hermoso. And Santiarias was the outlet, the playmaking outlet from the right flank in this game. Had a great first half, and then in the second half, just things went to... Well, it was crap. The second half was not good for Arias, and he missed that huge chance where he's clean through. João Félix sends him through with a great through ball, and he just hesitates. It's eventually cleared off the line, and, you know, outgo Valencia at the other end. And it's just one of those things, you have to be more decisive. Atletico as a team just failed to be decisive.
Yeah, I think so. And, I mean, had England not gone to Bulgaria, I think Kieran Trippier would have started. And I'm sort of starting now to get the feeling that under any circumstance in which he's available and ready to play 90 minutes, Trippier is going to be the one starting.
I mean, can't you just see that missed opportunity, like leaving Arias out of the team for like a month?
Oh, big time.
Yeah, he's going to be out of the team for like easily a few weeks after that. And that's fine. I think Trippier has had the leg up since Atletico purchased him. And he did play 180 minutes over the break with England in two England wins.
And long trips as
long
well.
Long trips to Czech Republic and Bulgaria.
Yeah, so I think if this had been just a regular match, not coming off something like that, he would have absolutely started. But now, considering what went on with Arias, I think he's guaranteed to start from here on out.
Yeah, just that's a moment where you just have to score.
Yeah.
You just have to.
And we've seen Kieran Trippier is a very decent offensive player in terms of a right back. I mean, if you're relying on your right back to put away a one-on-one, that's not an ideal situation, certainly, but you still need a little bit. You need a little bit of something there.
We've put this off long enough. Let's talk about that attacking trident of Costa, Morata, and João Félix. Again, it seems like Simeone is going to try to make this work no matter what. He's going to insist on these three players together, and it's still not working. He tried it last year with Costa, Morata, and Griezmann. He's trying it again with João Félix, and it is still not working, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, I liked João Félix's role a little bit better today. I think he was coming inside more in a way that helped the team a little bit better rather than being reduced to just like a strict right midfielder. I think he had some opportunities more centrally, which is good. But again, the problem I think is with Costa and Morata. They don't work well together. I think in some ways they're too similar. I think Morata would do better as a sole striker rather than in a pair, and I think you could make the argument that Costa's the same way. I mean, Costa did well with David Villa, but those are two very different players. Morata feels like a guy that is, you put him as the focal point, and he wins all the headers, all the knockdowns, and can set your attack up. Yeah, with Costa, it just doesn't work. It's imbalanced.
Alvaro Morata should not be coming wide to pick up the ball. Okay,
never,
that's
ever.
Just really, he should not have to come wide. Alvaro Morata is not a passer. That's never been a strong suit in his game, and that's fine. It doesn't have to be. 47% pass accuracy in this one, and it's just about putting players in the best position to succeed. And this is not one. This is not Alvaro Morata's game. I think he
can. Yeah, I mean, if you look at his heat map, most of his touches were on the right side of the pitch.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
That's not good.
No, it's not preferable.
No, certainly not. I mean, you want to hit the ball long to him and have him win headers and pass the ball short to people. That's what he's there for.
That is what Morata is good at and what, you know, he's always been good at. And
I mean,
play
to the man's strengths.
And I just wrote about this, but by insisting on this trio, which it is tantalizing, you know, I'll be honest. These are three very expensive attackers who have either had success in the past or are, in Costa Morata's case, or are just ridiculously skilled and possible candidate for major individual silverware in João Félix. Combining the three of them, I think, is a very interesting idea, but it's really not working. Because Costa and Morata just have no chemistry. They're both, you know, their profiles are too similar. It's kind of what Atleti used to run into with Griezmann and Correa, or Griezmann and Camaro.
Yeah.
Just these are two players with very similar characteristics. You can't have two reference points playing next to each other. Their movements are all messed up. As I mentioned, Alvaro Morata is coming wide to get the ball. His penalty was the penalty he won was generated by him trying to cross the ball. Alvaro Morata should not be trying to cross the ball. I mean,
ever.
Really, João Félix should be the one doing that. Saul should be the one doing that. I mean, really, anyone should be the one doing that, but not your center forward.
Yeah, either of the fullbacks. Morata should be the one getting the cross, not the one providing the cross.
I mean, come on. This should be, like, obvious.
And we've talked about it, like you said, a ton of times, especially in the past with the Griezmann, Gamero, Griezmann, Correa, that they're too similar. Now, this is just the opposite situation. They're too similar, but it's because they're two target men.
Right.
So it's like, what are we doing here?
So how long do you think Simeone is going to roll these guys out together? I mean, how long will it take to... Well, not necessarily for him to realize, but how long will he continue to do this? Will it get better?
I mean, if it keeps providing these kind of turgid draws that we've had the last few weeks, then I think hopefully fairly swiftly. But my fear is that we're going to get to midweek against Leverkusen and then it's going to be Correa in the João Félix role with Morata and Costa up top again.
And that's not the role for Correa either.
Well, yeah, I mean, but even that, I mean, it's still just going to be the same problem.
Yeah, it's going to be the same, whether or not whoever's making plays for them, I mean, that's, they are two target men. They have to have someone making plays for them, and that is fine. Like, that is the whole point of the exercise, but you can't, I just don't think that there's no chemistry there. Their movements are the same. Morata is having to come out and play a totally different role than the one he is used to. It's difficult. It's difficult to see it working, especially right now when Atletico still are averaging under a goal per game in La Liga. 8 goals from 9, which is just, that's pathetic. Honestly, that is
considering the attacking talent, it's horrific.
You consider how expensive this is, over 250 million euros spent on these three players. Costa, Morata, and João Félix. And to have only 5 goals between them in all comps this season is just ridiculous, honestly. And in La Liga, 1 win from the last 6 for Atletico with 4 draws. They have scored 3 goals in those 6 games. 2 of them came at Mallorca. So you take that out, you got 1 goal in 5 games. And it was today, and it was a penalty.
Yeah, this team is dying for goals right now, and losing João Félix is only going to make that harder.
Like, we have discussed many times since the summer that the winds of change are blowing through the capital, that Atletico are in a rebuild. They're in a completely new phase, working in a bunch of new players, transitioning into this new era. But the more things change, the more they stay the same. Atletico, through 9 weeks, are again having to play major catch-up. They are arguably going to be out of the title race. They're now 3 points behind Barcelona. Barca have made up 8 points on Atletico in the past 6 weeks. Real Madrid play, they have the late game Saturday night against Mallorca. Could be a tricky one for them, but you do expect them to come through there, barring a major surprise. So it's another season. I feel like we have to talk about this every September or every October, about Atletico playing major, major catch-up. And by the time they round into form, it's usually too late. And I feel like that is happening again. And after such a positive start, you know, listen, it is maybe unreasonable after such a positive start to expect Atletico to just run riot over La Liga. But 1 win from 6 in some very winnable fixtures. Celta at home, Valencia at home, Valladolid away. To pick up 3 points from those 3 fixtures, that is not at all title-winning form. It's not even really top-4 form.
Oh, man. Yeah, exactly. It's been awful these last few weeks, and considering the start they had, it's quite disappointing. But here we are. I mean, we'll see what happens midweek. That match has the potential to make things feel a little bit better, but then considering it's Athletic after that, it's not easy. It's not an easy run here.
That's Athletic at home next weekend. That's a very strong defensive team as well, and a team that gave Atleti a lot of trouble last season. It got off to a great start this year, haven't been in fantastic form of late, but that's a troublesome team. That's a team that plays a direct style that's going to try to give Atleti the ball.
and often gives Atleti problems.
Right, and has given Atleti a lot of problems last season. So, yeah, these are just winnable games, regardless of whether you are rebuilding, overhauling, whatever you want to call it. Whether you're doing that or not, these are games that you really should be winning. Like, there's that Spanish phrase, COC, yes or yes. These are games that you need to win. Not only if you want to win the title, but if you want to be competitive in the top three. And Atletico could very likely, well, they will be out of the top four if Real Sociedad beat Betis tomorrow morning.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, we need, there needs to be some kind of change in terms of the selection for sure.
I think the issue is, where is this change going to come from? Where is this change going to be made?
It's worrying.
Yeah.
It's very worrying.
It is, especially with the possibility that João Félix is seriously injured, as Diego Simeone said immediately post-match that the Atletico's medical team has told him that it could be a very serious injury for the kid. And that he was, of course, central to the summer plans. He was, of course, the bright new face who was brought in over the summer to try to reinvent the team post-Griezmann. And, you know, Griezmann is going and scoring for Barcelona while his replacement could be on the shelf for a while. Not to speculate, but that seems to be the possible diagnosis.
Yeah, I mean, Griezmann hasn't been great for Barcelona, so we can enjoy that still a little bit. But yeah, just him scoring today and João Félix getting hurt is my deal. So.
Yeah, that's not a very good dichotomy to have.
No, not great.
So Atletico will rest and clean their wounds over the next few days. Leverkusen at home on Tuesday. That's one of the early Champions League kickoffs. That's going to be 10 a.m. my time, which is about 7 p.m. Spanish time. Leverkusen got thumped by Eintracht Frankfurt yesterday. They lost 3-0.
Yeah, that's not good.
And they are eighth in the Bundesliga currently. Bas Dost, Rob. Bas Dost scored.
My guy.
Yeah.
My guy. I love Bas Dost. Speaking of target man.
Talking about a target man, yeah.
Love it. Love missing Bas Dost.
Yes, he is plying his trade at Frankfurt now. How many teams has he played for? I want to say half a dozen now, easily?
Yeah, I mean, he was with Sporting Clube de Portugal for a while.
Scored a bunch of goals there.
Umpteen million goals, yeah, for sure. But he was good for Wolfsburg there. Granted, that was probably due to some guy named Kevin De Bruyne. But, yeah, good player. But Bayer Leverkusen don't look great this season.
Yeah, they're eighth in the Bundesliga. They had 10 shots on target against Frankfurt, did not score from any of those shots, nor from 66% possession. Tough one. That's a tough one.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how that match goes. I mean, Atleti played them a lot in recent years, but they are a team that has a lot of turnover.
And in the Champions League, Leverkusen were defeated by Juventus last time out in Turin after a loss to Lokomotiv at home. So they are really up against it. They need some kind of result here in Madrid, which, given Atletico's home form of late, may not be impossible to get.
Yeah.
And Atletico have not won at home since September 1st, Rob.
Yeah, that is not good.
That's also one of those things that, regardless of what stage you're in building a team, you just, winning at home is non-negotiable. Taking points at home is non-negotiable.
It's true. It is true. It's frustrating for sure. I mean, they have some good players, so they certainly have the opportunity to win the match. I mean, going forward with players like Leon Bailey and Kai Havertz, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that is the guy to watch. Kai Havertz, one of the brightest young prospects in Germany, has been linked with a move to Bayern Munich really pretty relentlessly the past couple years, but he's still at Leverkusen, and he is an incredible talent.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And Leon Bailey, he had a lot of press last season, 2 years ago, and that's kind of died down a little bit as his form's tailed off, but he's still a dangerous player.
Yeah, it's not like there's no danger here. There is danger here. I mean, Leverkusen are back up against a wall. They need a result here, preferably for them a win. They need to get something out of this match in Madrid. And, you know, we'll see if they can go and get it, or if Atletico are going to bounce back and get a positive result here, which they really, need. They really need.
So, yes.
I think that's about it, Rob, unless you have anything else.
I don't. See, you weren't as mad as you thought you were. Certainly not as mad as a Vitolo.
Oh, my God.
So.
I'm not sure I will ever top that one.
That was... Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and listen to that again.
And I think part of it was that it was like 7:30 a.m. my time, and I had just woken up, and I'm like, oh, damn it. I hadn't had coffee or anything. I hadn't had any caffeine, so I was like, well, I got to go do this.
Oh, man.
So that was a Jeremy that was not on caffeine and just was totally groggy and very, very cranky, as you recall.
Yes, I do. I really do want to go listen back to that now, so
yeah,
I might do that a little bit later.
My voice had this very low kind of grumbling tone that I didn't have today.
What we would do to have Vitolo in the team now.
Yeah. Well, he should be back Tuesday. He was training fully on Friday. Just left out of the team for precaution, which is probably the right thing to do.
Yep.
So he will likely be back in the team Tuesday. I wouldn't be surprised if he started, really. It wouldn't be shocking to see him start from the off.
Agreed, yeah.
And, yeah, good times. These are fun times. This is, you know, you have the joy of starting, you know, with a perfect 3 wins from 3 and having this cushion over Barca and Real Madrid. And now Atletico are kind of back to where we have seen them in the past, even with all these new players and this new, not an attitude, but this new kind of, I guess, atmosphere, this new kind of excitement permeating the Wanda Metropolitano. And yet, you know, Atletico are back to where we have seen them in the past several years.
Yep. And so let's hope something changes. I mean, we're mainly looking for a change in selection here.
And perhaps we'll see it on Tuesday. All right, Rob. Well, thank you so much for joining me on this edition of Colchonero Chat.
No problem.
You can follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. I'm on Twitter at jbbaron. Into the Calderon, at Into the Calderon. You can subscribe and listen to this podcast on your favorite platform that includes Apple Podcasts. Patreon.com/Colchonero Chat has all your favorite bonus podcasting goodies. I did a podcast with Vireal USA couple nights ago with Alan and Sid over there. Great guys. We talked about this potential Atletico match in Miami in December against Villarreal. Some really good hashtag content there. That is up on the Patreon page, patreon.com/Colchonero Chat. We will be back next week. Until then, adios.